Welcome everybody. It's 2:03 and I want to start the Jefferson Conservation District Board of Supervisors meeting Tuesday, March 27th, 2018 at 2:02 p.m. Let's do introductions. Let's start over here on my left in the green.
I'm Ben Pearson, organizer with Washington Conservation District employees. Just here to learn more about the district.
Okay, great.
Richard Mankamar, TCD Board Auditor.
Eric Johnson, TCD Board Member and Chair.
Samantha Fleischner, TCD Board Supervisor.
Doug Rushton, Board Supervisor. Might want to say something about Linda. Again, she's not here.
Right, we normally have a fifth member, Linda Powell, who is also a Board Supervisor, who is unavailable today due to a family emergency. I am Sarah Moorhead. I am staff here at the district, and just a reminder, if you'd like to provide public comment, we have a sign-up sheet here on this front table. And we also have just our normal meeting sign-in if you'd like to use it on the back table.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I'm Heather Ross Kelly, and I'm taking down the minutes.
Amy Franks, District Treasurer.
Stu, go ahead.
Stu Treefry, Conservation Commission.
Paul Holroyd, resident.
Esther Garnberg, resident.
Joe Hanna, there's an ag advisory committee.
TJ Johnson, small farmer.
Ed Stanley.
Ruth Piconi with Department of Ecology.
Tony Wilson, citizen.
Joel Hanson, associate supervisor.
Paul Pickett, supervisor elect.
Thank you, Paul. Oh, audio recording announcement. We will be audio recording this meeting. And for those of you who would like to participate with us, and the Pledge of Allegiance, we would appreciate that. Richard, do you need us?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Thank you for those of you who participated. Agenda review, supervisors, do you have any agenda revisions? Oh, dang, I screwed up. Sorry about that. Let's do public comment first. Do we have anybody signed up for public comment?
I'll get that for you.
Do you want to do time?
Sure.
I have Samantha. Do you want to do the time? Thank you. Yes, I did. I was able to do that. Thank you.
I just
want to
make sure.
So each person has 3 minutes. At 20 seconds, I'd like to have Samantha raise her hand or give a wave and then signify somehow that they're done. How would you like to do that?
I understand that we state on here that we have 3 minutes, but I don't have that many people commenting, so I mean, we have 20 minutes to decide the agenda, so I don't think it's fair to cut people off.
Okay, well, agree? Good?
Well, I'm okay either way.
Okay. Tony Wilson?
Okay, I have a question first.
Okay.
In the work meeting, it seemed to me that you had decided that people participating in the meeting and voting, supervisors, remotely, would be acceptable. That the subcommittee decided that was not an appropriate thing to put into policy. Is that accurate? The prohibition of that would not be appropriate policy. Is that true or not?
Well, the way I read the minutes from the last meeting, is that what you meant?
No, I'm talking about the work. Well, okay.
Today
from the
last
meeting, was that made policy?
It was the way it's recorded in the draft minutes. Mm-hmm. It looks like nothing's happened and that hasn't went forward. It died.
Okay. Okay. I think that's a good thing.
Okay.
But that cuts my time short.
Okay.
I do see that the minutes of the meeting, and I've been trying to catch up on the minutes. The minutes of several meetings are available for approval now, going back a few months. There are other minutes that are not on the website or on this list of minutes to be approved today.
Mm-hmm.
Chapter 42 of the state law, the Open Meetings Act, requires that this board and all such boards promptly make those minutes available to the public.
Okay.
10, and promptly to me doesn't go back to last August. So I have a real question about whether the board is doing what it should be doing by law.
Okay.
The last meeting that I attended here, which I think was on the 6th, a special meeting, there were two occasions when board members abstained from voting. There's nothing that requires them to vote, but I think if a person wants to sit in one of those seats, there are only five of them, they ought to vote. Stand and deliver. We as citizens have a right for them to do that every time. If it's an action item, they should be voting on it. But that's a policy that this board would have to put in place, that if you're here, you vote. I was able to attend the Washington State Conservation Commission meeting. They had a really interesting system there. It didn't seem to hold the meeting up or cost any additional time to do their meeting. And they allowed for, on each action item before there was a vote, anybody in the room who was not on the board and had something to say about that item had comment time in the moment there. I don't know how much time I have taken now.
You're at 3 minutes.
I'm at 3 minutes.
It's a,
and I've covered three subjects. My point is that if you have six or seven people in the room in there and you have five action items, if each one of them takes 1 minute or a minute and a half to cover one subject at a time, it's 35 minutes added to the meeting. And it's more productive for the people there because they have some input. It's more productive for the board because it broadens the view. And I think the way the Conservation Commission did it was just was exceptional. And that's all I have to say about it. Thank you.
Thank you, Tony. Esther?
I just wanted to congratulate Paul and the election, and I think that the election, winning by a 10-1, almost 10-1 majority, shows that people of this county are interested in the conservation district, pursuing conservation policies, protecting our water quality, protecting the water quantity, protecting our farmland, our streams, fish habitat, all of it. And I think it should be seen as a mandate that people of this county are interested in conservation, and that's what the conservation district should pursue. And I hope that we're all interested in that, because things are only going to get worse. We have a lot of problems in investigating things that are going on in the county with the degradation of habitat, degradation of water quality and water quantity. And we all need to be working together. I don't see why there should be this conflicts here. If we're interested in conservation, we're all interested in conservation. And you know, it's just stupid for people to be fighting each other. So I hope this, you know, election shows some kind of a turn, that we're gonna all start cooperating with each other to save the county and put aside whatever other ideas one might have that this or that, I'm not sure what was even causing all this conflict. But to put that aside and let's, you know, unite and save the county's natural resources for the future, for us, for the future, you know, just for the all the living things that are here.
Thank you, Esther. Paula?
Post-election is an opportunity to hit the restart button, and I'm really hoping that that happens here. And I hope it includes two little things. One, possibly getting a parliamentarian to come in and do a half-hour workshop, which I feel would really increase the effectiveness of your meetings and decrease their length. And the other is put an emphasis and work together on the very impressive 5-year plan that the staff has put together. Thank you.
Joel Hansen.
Thank you. Joel Hansen, Associate Supervisor, longtime listener, first time caller. So greetings, Supervisor. I understand that at last month's board meeting, there was some discussion of me and whether or not I should be removed as an associate supervisor. I'm sorry to have missed that. It sounds like a good show. But I have to pick up my son at daycare, and I can't stay for your entire 4 and 5 hour meetings. My understanding is that you, Eric, were going to call me and ask if I wanted to continue in my role with the district, and it's too bad that you didn't, because I'd like to ask you the same question. But since I didn't receive a call, I'll address the issue now. I'm happy to stay involved and serve the district in this capacity, but the decision, of course, belongs to the Board of Supervisors. You all appointed me, and you can remove me. I will state publicly that I would like to stay on, because the district will need smart, thoughtful, committed, and creative people to pick up the pieces and rebuild this organization after Eric and Richard are gone. Of course, I fully expect you two to continue to choose whatever option is the absolute worst for the district and the citizens of Thurston County. In that respect, you've lost the element of surprise. Now I want to go back and address the article in the Olympian where you, Eric, called me a bureaucratic bootlicker and a sycophant. First, I'll ask you to tell whoever wrote that statement for you that I really enjoyed it. They did a good job. The line about manure and manure spreaders was particularly clever, and I must give credit where credit is due. I don't know if it was Jim Gaucher or Glenn Morgan or whoever, but give them my regards. As for the part about you being a farmer, I'll have you know that I'm a farmer too. I've raised chickens, ducks, geese, pigs, and goats. In fact, I come from a long line of farmers. My grandparents raised Angus cattle and Morgan horses, among other things. And my great-grandfather was one of the largest poultrymen in Washington State in the 30s and 40s. He actually was the first in the United States to send live chicks from his hatchery overseas to Asia. I'll also count among my friends some of the most well-respected farmers in the country and maybe even the world, people like Greg Gunthorpe and Will Harris, who are the two largest pasture poultry producers in the United States, Joel Salatin, who likely needs no introduction in this room, Will Winter, who's a holistic veterinarian, cattleman, and frequent contributor to Acres USA, and Mark McAfee, who owns the largest raw milk dairy in the United States and is the founder of the Raw Milk Institute. All of them are in great demand as experts on regenerative agriculture and holistic farming practices. What all of these people have in common is they are not only farmers, but gentlemen and ladies and scholars and citizen scientists who each has a profound respect, even reverence, for the natural world and not just the parts that they can profit from. You, on the other hand, Eric, are a bully and a liar. Time and again, blaming your own actions on the staff is pitiful, really. You give farmers a bad name. The tenfold increase in votes cast in the recent district election should be seen by you as a referendum on your leadership here at the district, and just in case there's any doubt in your mind, you lost by a landslide. I would urge you to do us all a favor and resign. That goes for you too, Richard. With any luck, the next tantrum you throw will be the last, and you'll just pick up your toys and go home. You clearly are not interested in doing the work required of a supervisor. You have for months now claimed that you are unaware of information that was in your board packet, information that you've been given time and again. I would suggest that reading the materials and being prepared for the monthly meetings is the minimum effort required of a supervisor. If you can't do that, there's no shame in resigning. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. I just thought I would comment briefly. It's a first chance to speak to you after the vote was counted, so I just wanted to observe that it was an unprecedented vote. I think there was like more people voting in this election, except for the one that was a countywide ballot, which was pretty amazing. And for me, it's not about me. It's about our community and about the people in the community who spoke out. And I think what they were talking about is their values. And so I thought about this, and I just think that they have values around civility, accountability, good governance, and that's what they're asking for. So I find it really humbling to get that kind of support. I feel like I need to work to be worthy of that support. I think that the people, the community, and myself, and I think all of us want to preserve local farms and protect the environment. And that's, I think, a key mission of what the Thurston Conservation District is capable of and should be doing. The key thing here, I guess, is that people spoke and we need to listen. And I guess
I'll leave it at that. I look forward to working collaboratively with the board over the next few years. Thank you.
Thanks, Paul.
Okay, that's it for public comment. Agenda review. Do you guys have anything?
Thanks for incorporating my recommendations.
The go ahead.
Question for Sarah, do you have any blank forms, sign-in forms?
Yeah.
The reason I ask that is that we've been discussing putting together a Thurston Conservation District Citizens Advisory Group Committee. Oh, you don't want to discuss it now?
Yeah.
No. No. Okay. So, you would like to add a Citizens Advisory Committee?
Advisory Committee.
Yes, discussion. So, is that acceptable?
First thing I've heard about it, so I guess.
I've heard about it before either.
Well, it's kind of what you were doing, saying in the past, that kind of the same along the lines.
I mentioned it 2 or 3 years ago. But, yeah, I'm okay with putting it on the agenda.
Okay, let's put it on. After 12. Okay, since advisory committee, 12A, I guess. Go ahead.
I just wanted to ask a clarifying question. Item 12 on there, TCD relocation discussion. It was my understanding that Linda maybe had something particular to discuss during that item with her not available today. Is that still an item the board would like to discuss at this meeting, or is that?
What do you think, board?
Strike it this time. We got a lot of people here.
Okay, let's go ahead and strike that. Just replace the citizens committee with and make that 12 instead. And then, Sarah, under your rates and charges update. There was a discussion last meeting of a timeline. The last rates and charges timeline.
It's in the packet.
Are you going to discuss it?
Yeah.
Are you going to discuss it under that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Update. So update and timeline.
Well, that's just one of the items that's included in your packet under that tab.
Okay. All right.
Mr. Chair, I suggest maybe moving the partner reports up in front of policy and procedure updates so partners that have other things going on, they can review.
Yeah, let's do that. So switch 4 and 5. Anything else?
I'd just like to see if we're actually going to get these meeting minutes approved and we're going to go through that, or is that just going to be another push to another meeting?
Well, I'd like to get some of them done the best as possible. We didn't have all the meeting minutes put in these packets.
Because it was like 360 pages.
Right. I tried to dig out what I had and I came up with November 21st, which for me is this. Is there more of a slimmed down version than that?
Yeah, there was a revised version of November 1st that was action oriented minutes. I believe that was provided at the last.
I couldn't find them, so that's my bad.
I can make any additional copies of any meeting minutes that you guys would need. We do not have an action only version of the December 20th meeting. That's a considerably long one, and so that was sort of midway in process. So we will have that ready for the next meeting.
Can we strike that or put that on next meeting then?
Sure.
In theory, we're going to want to get all of this taken care of because my last board meeting is April
24th.
So, in theory, to get approval of the people that were actually board supervisors during those meetings, they should be taken care of beforehand.
I mean, I have March and February, but, you know, again, I couldn't find the, because I was going back 2 months, I couldn't find my last month's board packet, so.
Those were long ones, we were supposed to get summaries on.
Yeah, and Sarah just said that they were in process.
Well, the November one was provided at the last board meeting. The December one is still in process of paring down the longer version.
And I mean, we can approve it in its full version. There's nothing wrong. I mean, I've read it. I think I've read it twice. So, I mean, we can approve it without it being whittled down. They're transcribed from our audio recording, so.
And I think we need to take Mr. Wilson's suggestions too of doing this timely. It's been pretty serious.
So I'll need a copy of November 21st meeting minutes if you want to tackle those today. But I'm okay on the 9th and 9th and February and March. I just need to review January again, so. My recommendation would be to do the 9th, the 27th, and the 5th, and get those others done next meeting.
I
understand.
They're really old.
Right. Well, we're waiting for the December to be pared down.
Well, we don't need them to be pared down, though. We can approve them as is. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, this was what was originally agreed upon. You guys wanted them transcribed, so we can just approve them as transcribed.
The staff transcribed them. We didn't ask for these minutes.
No, the staff didn't transcribe them.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, so staff was the one that chose to transcribe them. We never asked in a 3 month board meeting prior to that for them to be transcribed.
You had asked for verbatim minutes.
Long time ago, not for these meeting minutes.
So this isn't a productive conversation anymore. Okay. So
can we do
I'm just saying, like, we should get some of them done.
Right. I say that I like to work backwards. March 5th, February 27th, and January 9th for sure. What's the board think? Okay.
More would be better.
I'm thinking we really need to attack, like, November and December since they're in 2017.
Right.
So.
Right. Yeah.
We're also missing a board member.
We could still, I mean, there's four of us. We can function as a three people board.
Well, let's get those done next meeting and these meeting minutes. Okay? So we're going to do the 9th, the February 27th, and March 5th. Thank you for bringing that up tonight. Anything else? Okay. Hearing none, how about partner reports? And then we've had another, anybody else that's joined us mid-show here, we're doing an audio recording, and if you'd like to say your name, any new people have entered the room? No? Okay, as long as you know we're audio recording.
Hi Jeff, how's life?
My name is Jeff Swartek, I'm with the U.S. Department of Agriculture and Natural Resources Conservation Service here in Ohio. Board meetings for like 28 years. So here to give a brief report. Thank you for moving me up on the agenda. And in turn, I'll make sure that my report is recorded as well. No, I'm here to report that we just concluded our second round of the Environmental Quality Incentives Program sign up. Rounds one and rounds two, we had a total of 37 applications here in Thurston County for a wide variety of agricultural related projects. We're now actively screening and ranking round two applications, and we'll be working towards obligating those on and before the 4th of May. We'll pretty much know what's going to be funded. This year, I didn't do as much outreach. Previous year, we had 117 applications. We had lost an employee, and I just didn't want to be too aggressive and not serve anyone adequately serve what we have. So I did a limited amount of applications. Doug Rushton knows, as a federal agency, we've got to do Section 7 consultation. A lot of our projects are in pocket gopher or Oregon spotted frog territory. Anytime you do Section 7 consultation, it takes a long time. So applications that require Section 7 consultation will be screened at a medium level. And so medium applications won't get funded until some point in the future, hopefully end of 2019, our agency will have a programmatic biological assessment submitted to U.S. Fish and a biological opinion back, which will pave the way for 30 years of consultation being over with. Well, I basically have a package. We'll be giving a certain amount of take for all the different projects that we're doing. And so that's good news. We're just going to have to wait one more year before we can really cut loose with a lot of good efforts on habitat restoration for Oregon spotted frog and primarily that and the So with that, we're going to have a smaller amount of obligation in EQIP. This is what I predict for Thurston County this year. Probably we'll target our efforts more to North County rather than the Pocket Cooper area. So we won't have to do the Section 7 consultations individually, and we'll buy one more year to when the programmatic kicks in. We do that because individual consultation on project by project basis is really lengthy, and we just don't have the resources to write individual projects. So hopefully one more year, we'll get our programmatic to be off the money. Outside of that, we have conservation security program on the horizon. That application deadline is coming up. I can't remember exactly what date, but I think we've got within the month where that's coming up. And we hope to extend an offer for a very large WRP or Wetlands Reserve easement here in Thurston County. We hope to extend that probably maybe in the next 30 to 60 days. And so if the offer is accepted, then we'll start the restoration implementation. So a lot of activities going on. We have the upcoming local working group meeting, which I think hopefully folks are going to attend. That is so critical. It's in April. It's April. It's mid-April.
Or say the 18th. Look it up, though.
At the USDA Service Center. This is the time where people can have input on where we put our program dollars, what resources are our priorities are seen locally, and where those funds are going towards. So if you're interested, please participate. I encourage you to do so. With that, if there are no questions, there's one question.
Ahead,
I just wanted to clarify that's Thursday, April 12th from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. over here off of Black Lake. I have the email in front of me, so
thank you.
Not magic. I can't remember. I got so many things going on, but that's great. And it's over here at 1835 Black Lake Boulevard. Excellent opportunity. And I would encourage you to check it out. Any other questions? Comments? Concerns?
Could you repeat the very first name? The program you talked about?
Environmental Quality Incentive Program.
Environmental Quality
We call it EQIP for short. Us government folks are big into acronyms. It's actually our big bread and butter program here in Washington State and in Thurston County. Last year we had about $1 million go to agricultural projects here in Thurston County. Huge, monstrous work for it. I was pretty well burned out after last year. So I'm kind of a little quiet, a little quieter year is kind of nice to catch me breath. But I do see some long-term, some incredible opportunities coming up.
Any other questions? All right.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you.
WSCC, I'm going to let the reader show it's Stu.
Yeah, so Shauna, like I mentioned earlier, is still recovering from some back injury, and expresses her best wishes. The only thing that she and I talked about that I wanted to mention to remind is next month is a two-day policy meeting in Ellensburg that we're holding for all conservation districts to begin talking about the next biennial budget. It seems amazing. We just got through a biennial budget process, and now we're talking about the next one. So we're talking about that and all the other policy issues that were brought up earlier, but it's an opportunity to help shape things for the future. And if any of you can attend, the commission is again offering $500 per district to help defray costs of getting there. That's April 25, 26. That's it.
Any questions for Stu? Okay, WACD, NAC, Mr. Rushton?
WACD, Washington Association of Conservation Districts. If I use an acronym, please raise your hand, because there's a lot of them. I have this urge not just to use acronyms to see how you react. That was a joke, you guys. WACD is looking to hire an assistant manager at the Plant Materials Center up in Bow. That's our 60-acre nursery, basically. It's been a long time coming. They haven't had an assistant manager, and people have been complaining about being overworked, and this is a way to deal with that. WACD is in the process of updating our contract with the Washington State Conservation Commission, and the only thing I'll say there, because Stu's in the room, is it's not big enough. It should be more money. Also updating the work plan, the Washington Association of Conservation District work plans for this coming year. You may or may not recall that we hired a new person last fall, and with the legislative session and the annual meeting, she didn't have a whole lot of time to work on work plan type stuff, so now she's being able to get into that. And the June WACD board meeting will be at the Plant Materials Center on the 26th of June. The NACD had their fly-in, the National Association of Conservation District had their fly-in, which is basically a lobbying effort, on March 20th. The folks that went to that this year are Mark Clark from the Commission, Roy Lee Lights at the door from NRCS, Natural Resources Conservation Service, Michael Crowder, who's with the Benton Conservation District. He's also the NACD second vice president, Wade Trotman from Foster Creek, which is up in Douglas County by Chief Joseph Dam, and Larry Davis, who's the National Director Alternate. They had an interesting time. The 20th is a Wednesday, if I recall right, Tuesday, and they have meetings on that day and a bunch scheduled for the 20th Wednesday. And if you think back a little bit, there was a big snowstorm. So basically most of the meetings were canceled and they got stuck in airports. But the highlight of the trip was when they all went out to dinner on Tuesday night and a fight broke out in a family next table over, and they got pepper sprayed. So I'm glad I missed that meeting. But they did meet with several Congress people to push for the stuff that we've talked with the commission and NRCS here in this state. A couple other side items. The commission is putting on a forestry and fires workshop the 18th of April in Ellensburg, one-day shot. The Wade Conference, Washington Association of District Employees Conference, is coming up June 11th to the 14th in Leavenworth. And then Envirothon will be held, the forestry contingent will be held in Conconully on May 23rd and 24th. And lastly, I went to the Pierce Conservation District open house last Thursday, I think it was. There must have been 200 people there. They gave out awards and had a dinner of locally produced foods. It was really pretty cool. I sent Sarah a little video of it. I think you probably sent that around.
Can you guys receive that? No? Okay. I'll make sure it gets out.
Okay, if anybody wants it, how about you contact Sarah?
Sure. How's that?
But it was pretty good. they just did a really bang up job of recognizing their volunteers, recognizing the people that produced stuff within the county. They got a new office, so they're really proud of that. Although we didn't meet in there, it's at 308 Stewart is the address in Puyallup. And unless there's questions, that's the end of my report.
Any questions for Doug? Thank you, Doug. Okay, so now policy and procedure update, action item, subcommittee report, and recommendations. Sarah?
Yeah, sorry, I'm pulling my pieces up as we speak. Oh, wonderful. So, in our subcommittee, meeting. Apologies, folks. We held a subcommittee meeting where all supervisors were in attendance on March 5th to discuss continuing to revise, review, and update policy at the district. A couple of the things that we talked about in our March 5th meeting were updating our policy 5.1, our travel policy. There was a lot of good discussion. We came to a final draft. It was direction at that time to provide that to the State Conservation Commission staff to review and provide their feedback on that. That's much of what this afternoon's work session that began at 1 p.m. focused on. In addition, supervisors, you'll see in your packet, I also included a copy of the board travel and expense reimbursement policy that Pierce Conservation District has. I know that was part of the direction is to find other similar documents that were that we could utilize as we continue to develop and refine our travel policy to cover both board and staff travel and reimbursement of expenses. In addition, in that subcommittee, so that you'll see that you have the final draft with the commission's comments. We started to work on that in our work session, and I have that draft here on my computer. If the board would like to continue to work through that or work through that in our next policy subcommittee meeting. We also went through policy 1.2.1, which is the board supervisor remote attendance policy. It was requested that I provide a draft of that. We discussed that at the last meeting and reviewed that policy. It was voted on and not approved, so there is no remote attendance capabilities at this time in policy for board supervisors. We also established a new policy 3.3.6, which covers telecommuting. There was a policy established that provided staff with 8 hours per month of approved telecommuting, and that policy is a pretty short one. So that was voted for and passed, and that is what was discussed. That's the update from the subcommittee meeting, and I'm looking for a direction on how you'd like to move forward with the travel policy, whether you'd like to continue working on that in this meeting or to work on that in the next subcommittee.
Thank you for the way you presented that, Sarah. Appreciate that. In answer to Sarah's question, what would the board like to do? Continue on with that or wait until the next subcommittee meeting? Go ahead, Sarah or Samantha.
I think that it would be a arduous task since we spent an hour and didn't get through a page. I don't think that 30 minutes is adequate to continue to go over this.
Okay.
Especially since we're having a lot of,
I understand what you're saying.
So, I don't know if you've read over the Pierce Conservation District one as well, but I think that it would be beneficial to be able to incorporate maybe another conservation district that has a successful policy and look at how theirs is written and maybe try to mimic that.
Okay.
So I just think that it might be a better thing to tackle on.
Do you concur with that?
Yes, I'm okay with that.
Okay. Want to go to the subcommittee or another work session?
Well, I mean, the subcommittee is also open for a work session.
Right.
I mean, if everyone can't make it, then it becomes, you know.
Do you want to do a doodle poll on, or?
So we can have Sarah.
Right.
We can
Sarah
request
do a doodle
that
poll.
Of her.
Sarah, would you do a doodle poll to see when people are available?
Is there a timeline that we'd like to get the next?
I'd like to do it. Let's look at the calendar here. We're in March, April.
In preparation for our next.
I'm available from the 15th through the 21st. So if you want to go sooner than that, then I'm available on some days in May through the 13th. I'm available the first week in April. Go ahead.
If you would like the product of the subcommittee meeting to go out in the board packet that will, for the April 24th meeting, the subcommittee will need to happen before April 18th.
Okay, so.
I can give availability between the 9th and the 18th.
And what do the doodle polls like? Eric suggested
yeah.
that one.
Well, yeah, but she's looking for
9th
through
the 18th window?
Sure.
Okay.
That's your question here?
Sorry.
If you have a subcommittee meeting where all the board is present or a quorum is present, isn't that an open meeting?
It is.
And we advertise it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's why our March 5th meeting was a special meeting, because there was going to be.
And then who is the subcommittee?
The subcommittee was Linda, Richard, Amy Franks, and Sarah.
So from the board, Linda from the board.
Linda and Richard from the board, and then Amy, Frank, and Sarah.
So those are the two that would be
mm-hmm. And then it's
required.
Just, it's it, what it is that the subcommittee works on the draft, and then we go over it as a board, and then there's potentially issues that we don't all agree on. So that's what it ended up becoming, a work session.
And the entire board does have the option to sit new on the subcommittee
yeah.
if it wants to.
I was just going to provide some clarifying context that it started out as a subcommittee to work through some original motions that were brought up to convert those into policies for the district by a smaller group. And then the board decided to have a work session with everyone present to really work through getting those policies up to a voting approval or not, and they did some of that in that special meeting at the last one. So while it was a subcommittee meeting, it also really functioned more as a work session of the full board.
Okay, go ahead, Doug.
That really didn't clarify me.
Contact Spokane CD. They
sure.
have a really good travel policy that I think incorporates a lot of the stuff that Richard and Eric like about reimbursement for local stuff.
Yeah, I will ask Biggie again. I did that, yeah.
They basically do an allocation of X amount of money per month per board member. I don't remember how much it is. I think it's $100 or something. But that might be something worth looking at.
If it's not too intrusive, I have one more question, Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
I misunderstood something before I spoke earlier.
Okay.
If I understand
public comment?
Now, yes.
Okay.
As I understand the policy right now, if someone is not physically present in this room for a meeting, they have no voice and they cannot call in. Is that accurate?
Correct.
There is no policy.
But he's talking about he was at the meeting where we were writing that policy,
mm-hmm.
where it died.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it died.
So if a person's not physically present, they cannot call in here to the meeting.
Correct.
And vote.
Correct. They can call in, but they can't vote. Yeah.
Correct. Okay. I do have something to say about that, but not right now.
Okay. Maybe when we discuss it next time, you can come and help guide us through that. Did you have a question, sir?
I was just going to help.
Okay.
Clarify.
So, elections and appointments update?
Yeah. So I have been sending out to the board information as folks have filed for the appointment. The appointment closes at the end of this week, our application for appointment by the Washington State Conservation Commission to our Board of Supervisors. For those of you that don't know, we have 3 elected positions and 2 appointed positions. And so the window of time, the application deadline for the appointed position closes at the end of this week. And we've had three applications so far for that position. All of the materials are available on our website, www.thurstoncd.com, on the elections and appointments tab. And it's a pretty simple application that goes directly to the Washington State Conservation Commission, essentially a form that you fill out there. So it's a pretty simple mechanism. In addition, we have a memo from Nora, who was our election supervisor, with the results of our election that was held on March 3rd. We had a total of 2,541 total participants in our election, which is wonderful for our conservation district and the turnout there. So that's wonderful that level of participation happened, and I hope that that's a good trend upward for future elections.
So we succeeded and had more than 270 votes.
Absolutely. 2,541 votes. And I have some extra copies of sort of our elections statistics out here. All of the required elections paperwork was filed on March 12th with the Washington State Conservation Commission after the official ballot counts happened. The Conservation Commission will consider certification of the election at their May meeting. After that process is when our new supervisor would start, which Paul Pickett is in the room and the elected supervisor. We also tried out for the first time in our district's history and districts in the state, so the E1C electronic ballot delivery system, which is the Everyone Counts system. It's an online link where voters can access their ballot and download it, print off a copy, fill it out, and then mail it in or deliver it. So it allows just a little bit more accessibility to our district election and voting, which is already pretty cumbersome and complicated for everybody involved. So I just wanted to share that we had 1,117 ballots that were utilized via E1C, which is more than both the direct absentee and our poll site ballots. So it seemed like it was a pretty popular mechanism. I'm still waiting on the final invoice from Thurston County Auditor's Office to see what the final cost associated of their staff time for this year's election was, which was a little bit more robust, and this new mechanism of the E1C in addition.
Did they say how many of the ballots that were accessed online were actually turned in?
I have on here, you mean the number of ballots that were downloaded, like requested versus actually fulfilled?
Right.
I don't know that I have that information. I'm sure that they do, and potentially Nora. The numbers that I have here are the number of ballots that were received. So I have this information for both the board and the public, if you'd like.
Mr. Hanna, any other questions?
Yeah, it's following up on Richard's, because my understanding from prior meetings when the county presented that they were going to charge by the downloaded ballot, so that would probably be an important number to have.
Yeah, I will see what that was part of the original conversation with them, and I'll see what that looks like and if there is a large discrepancy when I get that invoice.
So is that the absentee ballots that were in it here?
No.
That would be considered the download one?
No, the one right above that, the E1C, is the electronic.
It says E1C absentee ballots?
Oh, yes. I thought you meant the direct request absentee.
So that would be the people who accessed it online?
Correct.
Yeah, that was the number I was looking for, is how many of those that were accessed actually came back.
Right, and so what's not showing here is the difference between the downloaded ballots and the received ballots. So the number that you have, E1C absentee ballots, is the number of received ballots.
Received ballots.
Right. The number of ballots that people utilize that mechanism to vote. But the auditor's office can certainly provide us with how many downloads did we have, so requests for ballots versus how many ballots were received.
Yeah, see, the number I'm looking for is what happened was a lot of people I talked to, they went to that first screen mm-hmm. where they had the candidates and they click on it, and then down at the bottom of that screen it said finish, mm-hmm. so they clicked finish and then they left. Mm-hmm. But they never realized that they were to download, there was stuff down below there, mm-hmm. that they were to download and send in.
Yeah, there were pretty specific instructions included on the website of procedures to follow. It does allow some accessibility, but it also is a little bit complicated in its own right to follow. So I think this is something to think about certainly before we move into the next election cycle, on whether or not the board likes this mechanism and would like to do this again in the future. And certainly the cost will be a factor.
Go ahead, do you have questions or comments?
What comments? Talking to a lot of people out in the county, and I made a list of some of the TCD election improprieties for the March election, and this is for the record.
Are you going to give that to her afterwards?
I'll give you a copy of this next week. But I wanted to read off some of the things. I was asked by some of the voters in the county that I'm in contact with to do an investigation, and in my initial investigation of the election as the board auditor for Thurston Conservation District Board of Supervisors, I have discovered enough election improprieties to call for an independent investigation by someone or an outside agency who is not connected at all to the Washington State Conservation Commission or the Thurston Conservation District. I have discovered interference by a state agency, specifically the Washington State Conservation Commission and the president of the Port of Olympia, E.J. Zeta. The E.J. Zeta mayor's letter that was not authorized by any of the mayors quoted in that letter, as a quick survey of the mayors indicated, and that E.J. Zeta acted on her own, totally putting a negative and skewed aspect on the election. This letter was a total lie and was not authorized by the mayors. Why is the Port of Olympia involved in our elections? And I have for you this Exhibit A. Many who voted online after they saw the first screen where they clicked on their candidate and then at the bottom of the screen it said finish, they clicked on finish, thought that they were done and logged off and never bothered to print out or mail in their ballot. We need the numbers on that to find out what really happened there, because I talked to many people when I went and talked to them, they asked me, they said, well, I voted. And I said, did you mail your ballot in? No, we didn't even know we were supposed to do that. So apparently the instructions were not that detailed. The voter pamphlet drop-off boxes were all locked, with the exception of the one at the courthouse. It indicated on the front of the ballot that if people printed out their ballot, they could drop it in a drop-off box in the county as they normally would. And I have Exhibit B that shows that statement that people downloaded from their computers. Electioneering. Someone was going up and down the voting line during the voting process, talking about the candidates and who to vote for. Eric gave the name to Sarah at our last meeting. That person has been identified, and we don't know if anything's happened to it yet. You done anything about that yet?
As we discussed at the last meeting, Richard, contested complaints or anybody wishing to contest the election is to direct that to the Washington State Conservation Commission as the certifying body for district elections.
Okay, we don't know where it goes.
Well, what about Nora? Since she was an election supervisor, shouldn't she be investigating electioneering?
She sent all of that information over to the State Conservation Commission, and that's the appropriate mechanism if there is a complaint or concern or anybody would like to contest our election. That's the appropriate mechanism because they're the body that certifies that.
So that information was sent to them then?
Associate Supervisor Joe Hansen was potentially lectioneering on a podcast supposedly sponsored by the Olympian and saying false and negative things about the district and some of its supervisors. The Olympian article was totally one-sided toward a particular candidate, and they never did print both sides of the story or any others that they interviewed. I personally gave the statement to Abby, the reporter from the Olympian, who used almost nothing of my full-page statement. It would appear the Olympian was biased, did a poor job in reporting the facts from both sides of this election. There were several buses dropping off people in restricted area during the election, some of them as close as 100 feet to where people were voting. Here's a picture of one of the buses. One lady said the elections were exclusionary and that she was unable to determine what a D or an R was. It does appear that the TCD elections were exclusionary, and with only several thousand ballots cast, where were the other approximately 175,000 voters in Thurston County served? Where were the rest of them? There was no drop-off sign from the parking lot into the building directing people who want to drop off their ballots at the auditor's office. It's questionable if TCD policies and procedures were followed and if a fair and unbiased election was conducted. It appears that some of the candidates were staff recruited and that staff actively participated in the outcome of the election process. Some letters are attached as Exhibit E that clearly shows staff attempting to influence potential voters in the process. Some of these letters date back to November and December timeframe. I have received several verbal complaints about the League of Women Voters as a nonprofit organization adversely participating in the TCD election process. It also appears that in a letter dated December 5th, 2017, sent to the Washington Conservation Commission, Mark Clark, executive director, then later forwarded to only two board members of the Thurston Conservation District by area representative Shonda Joy, that a group of concerned Thurston County citizens have been researching and investigating the operations of the Thurston Conservation District since 2014. This is that letter. This letter was sent to Mark Clark. Shauna got a hold of it. She forwarded it to Doug Rushton and Samantha Fletcher, and no one else got a copy of it on the board that I know of. In a brief summary of that letter, one of the sections pointed out that the TCD Acting Executive Director, Sarah Moorhead, was urging attendees at a WIRA meeting in Lewis County on December the 4th, 2017, by passing out a letter attempting to sway opinion among participants, and that distributing a letter like that in a public meeting is not only in poor taste, but also falls under the malfeasance section in the policy manual, which is a terminable offense. In another section of that letter, it indicates that the Washington State Conservation Commission and the Thurston Conservation District all need to get their houses in order or potentially be faced with a class action lawsuit. This is the things people don't know about that's happening outside of this area.
Richard, I have a question. Are you referring about the letter that came from a Lodkin?
I believe that is the letter, yes.
Okay. Do we know who this person is?
Well, the question is, why was it forwarded to just you?
I don't know. It's there. I generally get blind copied on it, so.
That was interesting that you and Doug got copied on it, but the other three of us didn't. So I think that's
asked the sender of the letter.
Yeah,
should be Shauna.
Yeah, and I mean, typically I'm blind copied. I don't know who else receives it.
Yeah.
So
could we have copied that letter?
That's part of the public record.
It showed up eventually in one of our emails.
You have it. You could ask the district, or you could just ask the staff to provide it to you.
I'm confused.
It's
this letter.
Yeah.
You have a public person asking you questions about who your comment.
The staff would have a letter.
Right, tell her what the letter is, the last name on it, so she can know what she's asking for. What's the signature of it? It was dated December 5th, addressed to Mark Clark, and was signed by A-M-O-T-K-E-N.
A-M-O-T-K-E-N.
Do you have that electronic format?
Yep.
Okay. Sarah has it. She said she can read.
May I? I don't have any disagreement at all with what Richard's presented here.
Okay.
He has concerns. He had voters in this county had concerns, I suppose.
Yeah.
One question that you all need to be aware of. You are appointed and elected to the board, and you have a supervisory position. You call supervisors, and one of the things Richard just brought forth in a public meeting belongs in an executive session, not here. And that's where it relates to whether or not Sarah did something that violates any kind of policy or law. That is not for us to know, that it's for you to deal with as a board in an executive session. It's personnel policy. That's law.
And what is your expertise on this?
My expertise on it, because I've run boards and I've managed people. That's something you don't do.
Are you quoting a particular RCW or?
No, not.
Right.
Do you want me to do that?
Well, it would be helpful.
Okay. I'll get that for you.
Okay.
Because you cannot, under federal law, even do that. It's a personnel matter. And you have executive sessions to deal with that kind of thing. There's a reason we do it that way.
Any other questions? Kang.
Moving onward, I guess. My questions were answered already by Sarah on that. So as we talked about before, going to March 5th special meeting, and then working backwards on the board meeting minutes. I guess can hold those up in front of you. Let me know when you're ready.
Mr. Chair, I'll make a motion to approve the minutes for the March 5th, 2018 Board of Supervisors special meeting.
I'll second.
Okay. Well, let's have some discussion. Line 22, Chair announced meeting being audio recorded. That didn't happen because we didn't audio record that meeting.
I think that's right.
Okay.
So what was that? Sorry, line 22?
Line 22 needs to be taken out because we didn't audio record that meeting.
No, I don't agree.
And then persons who provided public comment, Jill Hanna, was that just an oral statement, Jill, at the time, or did you submit a written statement?
Perfect.
Okay, so that doesn't need to be transcribed then. And then, looking at the rest of it, that's all that I have. Do you have anything to add?
Nope.
I'll amend my motion to include that change, the deletion of line 22.
Do you have anything, Richard? I want to look at one more thing. Okay, so on line 51, Doug, then just bear with me here. Doug called for the question, Linda seconded, vote, all in favor, Eric, Richard, Linda, opposed, Samantha and Doug, motion passed. Was that correct?
That was the telecommuting one. I mean, Doug and I opposed it, the three of you voted for it, so.
Okay, yeah, I was reading it wrong. Okay. For the clarification there. So, friendly amendment, is that what you said, Deb?
Yeah.
And then second on the friendly amendment?
Yeah, it's friendly,
we don't
have to second.
Okay, well, we have in the past, so I was just trying to follow, you know, how we think of it in the past. Any more discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of approving Board of Supervisors special meeting minutes Monday, March 5th, 2018. As amended, signify by saying aye.
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 Okay, select unanimous. Okay, that one out of the way.
And then working backwards, February 27th. Work session minutes, review February 20th monthly board meeting packet. Any discussion on that?
Yeah, got a couple questions.
Okay.
Maybe just a faulty memory.
Okay.
This one first.
Oh, we're doing the work session.
Work session.
The work session, my comment on that was I was there and I don't see my name there.
Thank you for catching that, Doug. I do not see your name there either. So we do a Chris Stearns, was there any? I'm not, did you verify, needs to be added to this?
Yeah. The work session on 27.
And then maybe verify the public that was there too, because I'm not going to have that on top of my head. Motion approved.
I'll make a motion to approve the Board of Supervisors work session minutes from Tuesday, February 27th, 2018.
Just a reminder too, you can also approve them in tandem. Oh, if you'd like.
Okay, every time we do that, and pick up.
So I would just.
I would like to just appreciate that.
Sure.
Some other staff person used to do that, but we would get caught up in waste.
I made a motion to approve it.
So I'm looking for a second.
I'll second.
Thank you, Doug. Any more discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Doug, you're aye too?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Approved unanimous.
So I'll make a motion to approve the Board of Supervisors monthly meeting minutes from Tuesday, February 27th, 2018 at 2 p.m.
I'll second.
The actual meeting minutes.
Huh?
The actual meeting minutes.
Oh, I didn't have that down.
We just did the work session.
Okay. Yeah, first and a second. She's talking about this one here, the actual meeting itself. No, it's not. You have the.
No, it was in the 400 pages of meeting minutes we've been carrying around forever.
And since we have a motion and a second, we're open for discussion. I don't know what line 29 means. I don't remember that. There's invoices sent to Eric for Les Schwab.
Those weren't invoices. He wanted to see the actual detail of what was purchased on a credit card at Les Schwab and costing him.
Okay, I don't remember that discussion. Okay. And then number five right below it, detailed billing for the two Whitlock payments to the board.
Yeah, the one was a single, and then another one was a double.
It was our rent that was behind.
Okay, but it says payments to the board.
Oh, so you're saying it's asking for the detailed billing to be emailed to the board.
Okay,
so it's just worded.
Okay, maybe do some clarification on that.
Spruce up that a little bit. So,
what line was that? I'm sorry.
On 30.
Okay.
I read it as we got some money back from Whitlock, and I couldn't figure out why that would happen.
Mm-hmm.
Got it.
Yeah. Maybe let's look at them a little bit first before we just go for approval.
Well, I mean, that's what the discussion part is, right?
Yeah, okay. Okay.
Yeah, I have a question.
Okay, so I want a clarification on what Doug said. So on line...
On line 30, he was just asking for it, because the way it's worded, it looks like the board received the payments, not the...
Not that the payment detail was sent.
Email detailed billing for the two February Whitlock Limited payments to the board.
So staff it said staff will email detailed billing information to the board regarding.
Okay, so that's how you're changing to the board?
Yeah, just clarification. I think so. I wish that's
okay. Okay. Yeah, well, yeah. Your turn.
Line 34. Go ahead. Kathleen's asking for information to label, enable the TCD supervisors, Ag Advisory Committee to issue statements, actions, support farm pad. What's the Ag Advisory Committee doing in there?
Did that happen?
So that's on your action item report that was included in this month's board packet. And what was requested during that meeting was that Kathleen Berger on our staff prepare a recap, and I believe you're the one that requested this, prepare a recap of the farm pad project that we started to do and the challenges that we faced, and that that information be sent both to our Board of Supervisors and to the Thurston County Agricultural Committee to see if there was any work that either body could do with Thurston County to move towards permitting of some sort of structure that would both accomplish their goals and benefit farmers in terms of the utilization of farm pads.
So she has not sent that yet?
She sent me a draft of that yesterday to review, and that's ready to go for the Board of Supervisors and the Ag Committee, and that is included and detailed in your action item report in your board packet.
What haven't you received? It's in our packet.
You asked for clarification. What line are you on, Richard?
200 is what we see. Because that was what we just talked about.
Yeah. Staff will email detailed billing for 2 February Whitlock Limited payments to the board. So you're going to clarify, you want to clean that line 20 up as well?
Line 200.
200, I'm sorry.
Sure. Yeah.
It's the same as the other.
Yeah. Line 263, I have circled. Chair move to hold executive session with the board. Sarah Moorhead and Amy Franks only in attendance. No second. Motion dies.
So, I'm sorry, what line?
Line 263. It just needs to read better, I think.
Right. We can take out the word only, perhaps?
Well, is that, what's your take on it, Samantha?
I mean.
Chair moved to hold executive session with board Sarah Moorhead and Amy Franks in attendance. No second. Motion dies. Is that what happened? Because weren't they in the meet? Were they not in the meeting?
You didn't want them in the meeting.
In this meeting? Were they not in the, they were in this meeting?
They were only for part of it, I believe.
So that does read confusingly. What you made the motion on, I believe at that time, was to have an executive session first without staff present, and that there wasn't a second in concurrence with that motion. That died, and then we went into executive session with staff present immediately.
Okay, so staff was in the meeting on that meeting.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that was.
Can we just?
Yeah, it's the March 5th one that the board met first.
Okay, can we make that cleaner so it shows that you were in the board meeting?
So if you look at the first bullet underneath that motion, it says executive session commenced at 6:18 for 10 minutes with Board of Supervisors Sarah Moorhead and Amy Franks.
Okay, that's in clarification.
I think the only reason that the prior line is in there is because you made a motion to hold an executive session with only the Board of Supervisors.
That's not what it says, though.
It's just not clean for, you know, a year from now.
Yeah. Right.
So can we have any suggestions on how to make it cleaner? No? What do you think, Doug?
Yeah, I'd rewrite it to say, Chair moved to hold executive session with only the board. Period. No second. Motion dies.
Okay.
Sarah Moorhead and Amy Franks were in attendance for part of the executive session.
No, they were pretty much the whole executive session, that one.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, it states it there, so on the line 266.
Yeah, but it doesn't for 268, 270.
Do you want to read that back, sir?
It doesn't stick at the word there either.
Perhaps what we can do for this is clean up the motion, as Doug suggested. Chair move to hold executive session with only Board of Supervisors in attendance. No second motion dies. And then I can say executive session in a bold header, executive session commenced with these individuals in attendance. And then the following is... Yeah, is the in and out record?
I think that makes more sense.
Might be cleaner. Okay.
Yeah.
On a statement via website and social media. Has that been done?
No, that hasn't. That's included on your action item report in your board packet. And I also sent a couple of emails related to that matter.
We're going to discuss that later on, so I just note that for yourself. And then I just, okay. No disrespect, but we're going to cover that later, so it's not covered twice.
And I think what might be helpful too is if you look at the action item report, it will have feedback on the action items in the minutes. It'll have reports of the status of those.
What about the Destin Dennison? I see that the mayor's note.
It's all the public comment that's attached.
Yeah,
we can't do anything about that.
Well, I don't know. Was this sent to you as public comment?
I thought you were talking. The Destin's was handed in.
Right. I think Destin's would be public comment, and then he originally made a mistake on the Thurston County Conservation District, but this says Thurston Conservation District, so it's his. So he has a PDA request, valid PDA request.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, this is the one that he handed in during the meeting. I think that his email just misstated.
Because he did a verbal, he handed you something, and he sent you an email, and a verbal, and the email are wrong, but it looks like in the meeting you provided an accurate one.
Yeah, so. And we go the written, something in writing is what we utilize to fulfill public disclosure requests, so we do have an accurate.
Did you have more? Okay, go ahead.
So I think this is going to be what Tony was talking about earlier on line 250, 252. That should all be. Do you have a copy of this?
I gave my packet to the inbound board member.
252, go ahead, Richard.
Yeah, should this even be on here? If I'm understanding correctly, it should all be executive session.
I think that what Tony was referring to was your statement that you just made about being a terminable offense.
I mean, this we're talking about this before. Is this outside of our policy and procedures?
Well,
Tony.
No, that's fine. That's
line is it?
It's line
252.
I think that's fine as it reads on the minutes.
Yeah, that's. I personally, thing. I don't think that's not what I was talking about.
This 251, 252 just says we need to talk about this.
Right, yeah.
Which doesn't say in an executive session, but of course it would be.
The details certainly would be, I think.
But it's good to be careful about these things.
Okay, well, just what about the letter that Zita sent out? How was that? did she send it to you and say, this is, I would like this presented in your board meeting, or?
My interpretation, and thank you for asking.
Right, I mean, we need to go back and look at her email and see what it exactly said, because if you have all these mayors that are complaining that she did this, and,
right,
and they had, she had no authority to do it, you have to say, I want this presented as public comment, correct?
So my interpretation was that this was sent to be public comment. The email I got said, here's a letter from the mayors in the Port of Olympia. I'm going to try and make it to the meeting as well. You know, my partner had surgery. And so my interpretation, normally when people send me emails like that, is that a public comment that they're wishing to share at the meeting. And so I chose to err on the side of caution and provide public comment to the Board of Supervisors during the meeting that was presented, rather than to not provide public comment if that was the intent here. So I also...
Do you want to clarify, or what's your thought, Doug, Samantha, Richard?
I think we ought to clarify. It's public comment. Whether we think it is erroneous or not, it's still public comment.
Okay.
So I think some follow-up there.
Before we verify or... Verify or...
I think we approve it whether it's in there or not. And I'm leaving it's public comment.
Okay. Yes, Mr. Hannon.
I'd like a short statement related to that letter. I personally contacted every mayor, city manager, or their representative from each of the signature blocks there, and every single one of them said without any doubt that they did not authorize their name to be on the letter, that and the follow-up from that, from a couple different ones, is that she's actually been asked not to attend those meetings in the future.
My thought is we just need clarification on it, whether it's public comment or not.
And I think the board can choose whether or not they would like that to be included. It was provided during the meeting. It will be part of the public record of the board packet, and it's up to you whether you would like to include that as part of the public comment section.
Was it read at the meeting?
No.
It was handed out.
It was handed out. Okay. Sarah,
it was handed out to the board.
Sarah handed out to the board, yeah.
Anytime we
receive... In the public.
Anytime we receive...
I just think it would be helpful in the body of the minutes, in your public comment section, to note how these handouts came to be in public record. So, like you say, Desmond Dennison handed out the letter, and then it's attached, or that one was provided before the meeting. And so, something that just makes reference to how the attachments ended up in the record.
Yeah, that's a good suggestion. Maybe we do that in the future, or
just so it's clear what, if somebody sees this in the future, they'll know what. How it got there.
I'd like, it's in the board packet. Did you send it out in the board packet as well?
No, that's why it was brought up during the meeting, is because it was provided during the meeting, because it was sent prior to the meeting, and the interpretation was that it was to be public comment.
Well, I don't know what to do on this, because it's a letter saying that it's coming from a port commissioner and all the mayors, but yet none of the mayors supported the letter, and it was emailed to Sarah, and then handed out to us. So I don't know what to do on this. I don't want to look like I'm trying to squelch public comment, because I'm not.
Well, I think now you know how I feel, right?
Right. I mean,
in providing that comment to you.
I don't think it should be in this meeting minutes, because it wasn't supported. There's no signatures. I mean, I don't know.
It's a public document, though. We can't, I mean, we're...
Well, it's a public document, only if we put it in our public documents.
Just as a impartial observer, I think that you should keep it as part of the record that it was received, and then also make note that it was also discovered that it didn't actually come from those.
I think we need to do our own due diligence on that.
Okay, so what's your recommendation?
That staff contact these folks. I mean, I don't know if it's not going to make any difference anyway.
Yeah. Really. Well, whether it's in there or not, we have to make a decision now. So
we can't
table
remove
the minutes.
You can't remove it.
Yeah,
we can't remove it and then
and then state what investigation you find. Like if you discover that it was falsified or it wasn't from that office or whatever, then you simply make an additional statement clarifying that.
Okay, I'm gonna go to Sarah first.
I believe it was the within the same week as the board meeting, if not in the next day or two, I sent a follow-up email to the Board of Supervisors saying that I actually received communication from a couple of the mayors listed on this letter that said that this was a draft that was not supposed to have been sent to me. So
we got that email.
I provided that documentation pretty immediately to the Board of Supervisors.
So what we can do,
we can attach that.
This meeting, in our discussion of this meeting, we can attach that and go forward.
Did you have something else?
The struggle I have with this whole thing is if Samantha cannot attend a board meeting as a supervisor, she cannot call in on a telephone. EJ Zeta sent a letter in and it gets distributed as if she was here.
Right.
And she's not even a supervisor.
Right.
And that's, you know, to me, it got sideways when it was accepted in the meeting to begin with. The person's not there, they don't get to come in. I can't call in from Tumwater.
Well, we accept written comments, though.
Pardon me?
We accept written comments. People can email in written comments.
Yeah, there's a protocol.
But is that, that's in your policy, and then you
can... Is it in our policy? Sorry to interrupt you. Is it in our policy? I'm not sure it's even in our policy.
Well, somebody needs to determine that, too.
Can we do that in action item, if that's even in our policy? Thank you for bringing that up, Tony. Go ahead, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
I'm good. I don't have a vote, just an opinion.
Right. We're always welcome for the public's opinion, especially if it's positive.
I think that that's certainly something. I have an action item to go back and look through our policies and procedures to see if it's in there for the Board of Supervisors to accept written comment in lieu of attendance. That's something that public have been submitting written comment for at least the past several meetings that's been provided.
It's normal procedure in about any public organization.
People can always write you anytime they want. The question is whether what goes in the minutes.
Yes. Right.
If somebody writes and says, I want this in the minutes, do you have to?
I'm the Taliban and I think it's blue outside. You know, I mean, if you just put that in, if somebody send it to you, it's about the validity of this.
You're comparing that to the Taliban?
No, I'm just...
Outrageous.
Well, your policy should be even-handed and wide.
I'm more than happy to follow the board's direction on how you would like written public comment to be received, especially if it's directed to be presented in
public. If you don't have policy, then it's past practice until you change the policy.
Which is what we've been sort of operating under. I'm more than happy to follow.
Okay, well, you have an action item to look up the policy. I'm going to probably vote no on these until we get clarification on that.
Would you like me to attach the email that I sent? I mean, would that be helpful in follow-up to this letter that I sent to the Board of Supervisors?
At least that. We had a motion and a second, right?
We've had a lot of discussion.
Right.
Ask him. This was an announcement that was handed out by one of the individuals that made public comment to be included as part of their public comment. It's an update about the mineral land survey for Thurston County and involving farmland or agricultural land, co-designating that with mineral land. So if you remember, there was a public comment provided to that effect, and then this was the documentation that they handed in as part of that.
Okay, you have all those notes?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All in favor of approving
the minutes as amended.
The minutes as amended, Tuesday, February 27, 2018. In favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Yeah, I need to do more research on this.
So we have one for Samantha and three opposed, Doug, Eric, and Richard. Thank you, board.
And if we get the next version of this, this last page with the LTA stuff and the mineral rights, could we put across the top who it was and when we got it?
We can't take out court comment.
Well, we can figure it out. We can figure it out. And then make a good decision.
It's not part of this. It's not, it doesn't change this or make it different.
Okay, so did we do January 9th?
January 30th.
No, we said we were going to do that when I got March 5th, 27th. And then
why are we doing the 30th?
That's what I discussed. Oh. And that's what we agreed on. So the 9th. Okay.
I'll make a motion to approve the Board of Supervisors special meeting on Tuesday, January 9th, 2018 at 1 p.m.
Oh, second.
Okay. Any discussion? Everybody looked like they were there, right? Doug's on there. Yes. Any comments, Doug? Nope. Any comments, Samantha?
Nope.
I don't think I have any comments either. Are you ready, Richard? Okay, would you like to open that? Yeah. Discussion. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Sorry, Doug, we're over there. You said aye. Yes.
Yep.
Okay. It's unanimous. Okay. So.
Amy provided us with the 21st, November 21st.
Yeah, I'm not ready. We already decided on that in the gender review. We're not doing it. So I would like to move on to the financial reports and we'll get into our next book. So, Amy
Frank's financial report. All right, thank you. I provided some notes for the February financial reports, so those are in there. Bank statements are included as well. I'll have to email out the credit card reconciliation this time. It didn't get into the packet, so apologies for that. But be happy to take any questions.
How about the Pacific Shellfish Institute for $35.44?
What page are you on, please?
I'm on turning over the back of the first page. Let's see, check number 19512.
Yeah, that was for their shellfish protection district program. Mm-hmm. That was their final billing for 2017.
Institute. Lamont Company.
Lamont.
They're chemicals for Stephanie's water quality.
Okay.
Testing materials.
Okay. And then Hatch Company, we've seen that before. What is that again?
The same, yeah, water quality testing materials.
Okay. And then you're gonna do the credit card?
Yeah, I'll have to send that out.
Okay. Go ahead. I'm not done with the flag.
Okay. Question on 19508 Grace Harbor. Is that still that engineering project?
Yes. That was the last billing on the projects they helped us with in the Chehalis.
It's in the Chehalis, it's not closer to town, and it empties into the bay. It's a Chehalis project.
Yeah, was that for the Chehalis projects grant?
I think that was for Right, yeah, you're wondering if it was for the Salmon Passage project that we're doing in the Black Lake. We can provide documentation on that. they've done engineering for a variety of projects, so without additional detail in this line item, we can provide follow-ups.
See a continuation. We're wondering if any of those projects have been completed.
So it seems like a lot of engineering.
Absolutely. Yeah, they provide engineering services for a lot of our projects.
Is that the same for waterfall engineering? Mm-hmm. Are they doing the culverts, or what are they doing for us?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, waterfall engineering is the one that is providing engineering for the salmon recovery project or the Salmon Passage project that we have.
Can we get in? Okay.
Do we have any totals on that yet? Like, how much have we spent with them on that project?
I think Richard would like to see a report on that project and see where we're at on it. So that, I think that's our third engineering. Mm-hmm. So if we can get an update on that via email would be acceptable.
Sure.
That's what we were kind of discussing earlier about some of these grants and stuff. If you don't know anything about them, they're hard to figure out what's happening. You see lots of engineering fees and stuff. Mm-hmm. Where are they going to? Is this engineering? Is this within the range of what an engineer would get to do that? And do we actually get bids on those?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think that question's come up several times, and yes, is
that
continued
part of
answer.
The three-step bid process? Or?
Yep. We have our whole bid process outlined and what the thresholds are for acquiring quotes and formal bids.
Thank you.
We follow that.
Washington State Conservation, 19525.
That is our vehicle lease program.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And then this is our last tape to type. There's two of those, or there's three of those?
Yeah, I think we did, was it the October and November meetings?
November and December.
We tried that. Yeah, November,
okay.
December.
Yeah. Okay, I just thought we had already seen two bills for that, so. I guess I don't have any questions on it. Sarah Moorhead, V, what was that for, Sarah?
WACD conference.
WACD conference. When?
Annual meeting at the end of November.
She was there. I think about four. I saw her.
I'm on the same back first. Go ahead.
What does ASMNT stand for?
Assessment.
So that's a deposit. Are you looking about 2/3 of the way down?
Yeah.
So that $50 was a equipment rental deposits.
Okay. What did initial stand for?
Assessment.
Yeah.
When we had our base funding of. Assessment.
Oh, you mean that's what it goes to?
Right, yeah, assessment,
it's
district operations.
That. Okay, gotcha.
No, it's a deposit, so it's money coming in.
What do we do at Rainier Sportsman? Is that Rainier Sportsman Club at Rainier?
Which number?
I'm sorry, that's undeclared, so those are already approved. Okay. Any other questions? I guess a question on Sarah, your travel. There was no. Did you take your own vehicle or?
I did.
No district vehicle available?
Right.
All right. I can
Samantha, do you have any questions?
Thanks for all the detail, Amy.
Go ahead. I got one question on check number 19550. How would we track that? If I wanted to follow that deposit coming back, how would I track that?
I'm sorry, Richard, what page are you on?
Three. So it'd be the back page of the second page. Starts with check, conservation, or Thurston CD reconciliation detail.
It's for the Scoogham check.
Oh, right.
Yes.
Oh. Range. And if you wanted to see that that was not deposited?
No. I said, how would, if I wanted to track how that, because that was deposit that we put down for damage and stuff, and it's going to come back, is that correct?
Right, so what their policy is that they take and they hold the check, and then if there's no damages, they hand the check back. I turn it back into Amy,
so
and
we'll
it's...
show that coming in then the other direction.
Well,
never
moves.
It's
voided check.
It's just being voided.
Because they handed it back physically.
Right, they don't actually deposit it.
Any anomalies, strange things that we should know about?
That we don't already know.
I didn't see anything. Thanks.
So we haven't been getting the visa statement with these. Is there too much of a timeline delay or something? I mean.
Yeah, Preston was handling that for me until January, and now he's only in one day a week, so I'm trying to handle that. I also have reduced hours, so it's not making it into the packet, but I can certainly email it out as soon as I have it ready.
Okay. Any more questions? Okay. Hey, somebody want to make a motion? I'd like you to go ahead and email it to me, please.
Certainly.
We'll make a motion, Mr. Chair, to approve check register dated 3/22/2018, starting with check number 1952-8 through check number 1954-8 in the total of $58,828.23 with no voided checks.
I'll second.
Any more discussion? Okay, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Okay, unanimous. Okay, more fun stuff. March check register, WSCC Livestock Technical Assistance Addendum Action Item.
So this is the livestock $8 that we were awarded from the commission that we've been talking about for a couple of months now. We were on top of our original allocation, awarded an additional $25,000 to utilize now to develop conservation plans for livestock owners, provide technical assistance to landowners during dairy inspections, respond to county and Department of Ecology livestock referrals, and help to update our existing dairy nutrient management plans, and also to provide some a certification for our existing resource technician to complete that certified planner program. So these funds are available to utilize immediately, and all that we need is a formal board approval. There's no forms or anything to sign on this one, but the Conservation Commission does require formal board approval in a board meeting.
So do we have a qualified person to do this?
Yes.
Can you do the nutrient management plans?
Yeah, so a couple of the components on here, because of workload, we are working most of the grant dollars in here are appropriate for our existing resource staff and their qualifications and certification level. I have reached out to area districts and secured some support from one of our partner conservation districts to provide any plan certifications or any dairy nutrient management updates that would happen before we increase our staff capacity.
So that means we'd have to bring someone in that was certified nutrient management planning person?
We could, yes. So we could hire for that or contract for that component. In the short term, I've identified local planners that can provide contract services to fulfill any immediate deliverables that we have. And this would be great to utilize when we increase and fill that resource specialist.
Did James retire, or is he available for contracting, or?
He may be. I think that is a relationship that we could certainly utilize for some of these components.
Well, does the commission have anything to say about this? Do you have anything to add?
No, it sounds like she's, what's important is making sure you have qualified people that are doing the work.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like she's already reached out to the other districts to find that expertise, to back up existing staff, and certify the plans.
Okay. Any questions? Okay. I know that, oh, go ahead, Doug.
I was going to make a motion, Mr. Chair, to approve the Conservation Commission Livestock Technical Assistance Addendum dated March 2nd, 2018, Livestock TMA.
I'll second that.
Thank you, Richard. Any more discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. I'm going to watch the okay, let's take a 5-minute break, or let's do a 10-minute break.
I didn't get a chance to ask questions.
So,
we'll decide on that.
3:50, we'll move back to 4:05.
That's pretty hard.
I'm
really
excited.
Tony,
where do
you live tomorrow?
I live south of the airport now. The Notch of 35th District.
Gotcha. Oh, sure, yeah. So, I was annexed in Tamora. I'm on the other side of the
city.
I was annexed in the city in 2016. That's how I ended up on the Planning Commission. And you're probably in the last place that eventually might get annexed.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
Make sure that more folks are engaged.
No. 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 Yeah.